Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program 360. If you'd like a copy of the channel, I'll show you four different ways that you can receive one at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. It's absolutely free. Postage and handling is also taken care of. We have a lot of Bible reading today, and we've got some music. And right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this radio broadcast. Father, I thank and praise your holy name because you're a God that hears. You're so close to us that you actually live inside. We don't have to scream or even talk loud. You can hear the slightest prayer. You know the thoughts of our hearts and the secret things that we're planning to do. But Lord, we pray that people hearing this broadcast will remember, don't plan anything. Don't plan any career. Don't plan a career in the ministry or in the world at all. Just allow ourselves to be led by your Holy Spirit. You show us what to do, Father, in this broadcast and after the broadcast and before every broadcast and after every broadcast, 24 hours a day, that the souls in the world will be saved because you are the wise and holy and almighty God, and that the church may and will for sure, if they listen, shall be saved. We ask it in it shall be strengthened, which means we're all saved if we continue in the body, in you, to the end. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord God, in Jesus' holy name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now here's Peg Springman, one of my favorite singers, gospel singers, to sing right on King Jesus. And we are the body of Christ, so we have to keep letting the Lord keep going on in us in this world if the people of the world are going to get saved and the church strengthened. Right on, King Jesus. Praise the Lord. You know, it's just a tragedy that so many people in the world believe that you have to be a teenager to be able to witness to teenagers, and you have to be a gang member to witness to a gang member. Gang members don't know how to witness yet. And so it's our job to go into the gangs and to witness and testify to them, just as Susie and I went into the streets into the dope den. So we were actually invited into a dope den in Hollywood, California. And when we went in there, I gave my testimony about the Lord saved my soul, and then Susie preached hellfire and brimstone unto them, which is in the Bible throughout. And every single one of those hippies, those drug addicts, gave their hearts to the Lord. Now, of course, a lot, there were some of them that didn't stay on. And the Bible tells us that there are people that once were enlightened, were given the Word of God, and then they received the Holy Spirit and the powerful things of God and the world that is to come, and then they fell away. And the Lord says, for those that, you know, there's a church that says that that is impossible, then they weren't really saved. No, by you saying that, you're not a real apostle or preacher or teacher of the Lord. You're either a very ignorant person or somebody that is a devil, misleading people, saying, you know, once saved, always saved. You can still do anything that you want. But the Lord came into the world to separate sinners from the world and to save them. But we did, you know, once they get saved, once the drug addicts get saved or gang members get saved, I won a lot of gang members to the Lord. I was placed in prison for false charges on the IRS thing, and that's they're saying I'm an ex-con. Well, so is Jesus, and so is the Apostle Paul, and Apostle John, and all of your apostles were in jail, and they were all killed for because they preached the gospel and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ and what one must do in order to enter the kingdom of heaven and stay out of hell and the lake of fire. But I saw, you know, on a unsaved persons, I don't know for sure if they're saved now or not, but Maury Povich, he used to have a TV program called Current Affair, and he had a bunch of gang members, really unruly, angry teenage girls that were just beating up on their mothers and dads, and they were beating up their little brothers, and they were using foul language and doing all sorts of promiscuous sexual things in the world. And they had this big black guy that was just really telling them, you better do this or that, sit over here, say, you don't win souls that way. So Maury was wrong for having that man on there for sure. But what really got to those little girls was they wheeled a little girl in their same age. She was in a wheelchair, and both of her feet were across on the wheelchair, and she was a beautiful teenage girl, and she said, you know, you people have a choice out there. I don't have a choice. I'm never going to walk again. And this was, you know, when the teenagers, when the gang members, she got a bullet in her back when she was running. She said she didn't even want to be in the gang, but she didn't like the things that the gangs were doing, but she got involved. And then she, there was another gang coming to have a war, make war with them, and so she started running away, and so did all the others, and she took a bullet right in her back, and it paralyzed her for the rest of her life. Now, that kind of a testimony, I believe, will wake up a lot of people. Now, I don't know, I don't think that girl was saved at all. She was just saying, look what happened to me. I'm never going to walk again. And you girls should get out of those gangs and you're just murdering people, killing people, and you're around killers, and one of these days you're going to take a bullet yourself, and look at me, I can't walk again. I never, ever, ever walk again. And it would be so nice, you know, some of these gang members that have experienced a lot of bad things, if they, people would just go out, church people, people that are with the Lord, that have Jesus living in them, would go to out in the world and not be afraid of what people can do to them, because Christ promised to never leave or forsake them if you're really of the Lord. And we'll go and win some of these young teenagers like this, both boys and girls, and let them get up and give their testimonies of what happened to them. And that's what we did when we won all these young people in the early, in mid-60s. We let them give their testimonies, and the testimonies were real. You know, but you've got a lot of people that were raised in the church and they've never experienced these things. And they're not going to, they don't know how to witness to gangs. But that is an excellent way where you've been in a gang. I won Reggie, a man in prison that was the head of the Bone Gang in Memphis, Tennessee. And I was in prison there first. That's where I was put in prison. And then later I went to Florence, Colorado. And then after that to Texarkana, Texas, FCIs. And then on different hearings, they would take me out and put me in the prison over in near Denver, Colorado. What was the name of that place?
Littleton.
Littleton, Colorado. And then I went to Fort Worth for a parole hearing, and they rejected me there. It's just amazing how they let murder. I mean, the government is so evil because it's run. We don't have the Constitution anymore. The government is coming into churches and telling them what they can believe and who they have to allow to do this and that. No. And then on the second hand, they don't allow us to go into federal buildings and preach the gospel. Don't they realize that that is more repugnant to us than it is for to them, for us to go in? And I guess it's just about even on each side, because that's repugnant that we would go in and attend and win dopers, drug addicts, these gang members, and these people that are the terrorists. I've won many Muslims to the Lord. And you can read their Quran, and you can see that they just feel full of hate. And they're not going to do anything else unless they get saved. The Prince of Peace enters into their heart, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the Prince of all the kings on the earth. But he enters into you. Then, of course, you're a new creature. This is the thing that the Muslims hate. They are so fearful of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that they actually say that they'll put you to death if you're a Muslim and you accept Christ as your personal Savior. But those that are Muslims that are listening to me now, the Bible says to don't fear these things, because if God be with you, who could be against you? And you've just got to stand up and be counted for and get into the body of Christ, because the Lord is coming back to earth exceedingly soon. And you know, the Bible says also that the fearful, those that are fearful of the world government, the world cult that runs the world government, and the news media, which is the mouth of Satan. They exalt Rome and the Roman Catholic cult and the Pope and all these homosexuals that are there and the child abusers. I mean, they are the world's worst sex offenders. And they're the ones they open up. The Constitution says that there's no government agent that can favor, our government cannot favor one religion over another, or born-again Christian religion over born-again Christians. That's in the Constitution, but what they pay no attention to the U.S. Constitution because we're now under Roman canon law, very much like it was in the days when Jesus was here on earth and the apostles. And so a lot of people don't keep up with the times. They're not in the spirit enough to know the hour that they're living in and the time that they're living in. And that's why the Lord appeared to the apostle John, and an angel appeared to John. And it wasn't John that made up the words that he wrote in the Gospel of John, or the first, second, and third epistle of John, or in the book of Revelation. This is God Almighty talking to him, telling him that the end of time is very near. So he says for him to write down what you have seen, what I'm showing you. Now, why should he write this down? Because the Lord cares for our souls. He wants us to not be ignorant and just be mesmerized, if you will, by the things of this world. Write down the things that you have seen, both the things that are right now, this is going back 1950 years approximately, that are happening right now. Write down the things that are happening right now and things that will happen in the near future. Now, this is Jesus saying, now near, if the Lord tells me near, and some people say, well, the Lord says that, you know, one day is as 1,000 years. That doesn't mean that when he says tomorrow you're going to die and you won't die. Because what the Lord means is, to the Lord, time doesn't mean anything to him because he's eternal. That just means that 1,000 years is like, a minute, a day, to him. He can he lives forever. Amen?
Amen.
That's all that means. And you hear the false prophets that don't live in the spirit of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus doesn't live in them, and they just read it out of the Spirit. And the Bible says that the Spirit brings forth life, but if you just read the Bible by the letter and you don't really have any depth of the Spirit in you, that it kills. And when people start teaching the Bible that are not saved and haven't been rooted and grounded in the Word of God, they throw souls. Like you see all these secular TV programs telling what God is and what God isn't, what Jesus isn't. And they are dead in their sins and trespasses in the Lord. The Bible, God himself said that the dead know nothing. So the people out in the world should realize that you don't know anything until you know the Lord. When you know the Lord, then you know God. And then it takes you years to really learn the complete personality and the do's and don'ts of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, if you'll read the Bible, he is God. He's the fullness of God, the fullness of the Godhead in a living human body. And then he's first begotten from the dead. So he says, now this is God saying to him, he says, write down the things that are happening and the things that will happen. And he says, for sure they're going to happen in the near future. And that will happen in the near future. So this is the meaning. Now, he's shown him, I'm reading from the book of Revelation. He's telling John, because John didn't know one thing until the Lord shows him and tells him what it is. He saw 7 stars. He said, now Jesus told him, the 7 stars that you saw in my right hand and the 7 candlesticks, which is the same as the sevenfold lampstands. The 7 stars in his right hand are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands, or candlesticks, actually, they're all both one and the same, because the lampstands are the church, and the candlesticks are the seven churches. And the sevenfold spirit of the Holy Spirit before the throne of God. In other words, the body of Christ. The seven churches is the body of Christ. The seven lampstands, they have to have a light. And they are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world, and when Jesus is living in the people of the true church, which is one church and one church only, so we don't want to be involved in a lot of denominations at all. The denominations don't mean anything at all according to Christ, God, the Holy Spirit. And people get into fights when you start talking about my religion is the number one religion. No, that there's no religion that's number one. You must be born again of the Spirit. The Spirit must be in you in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So what I'm talking to you about here is the seven churches, in other words, is the body of Christ. This is in Revelation chapter 1. Now the message to the church in Ephesus, know that our born-again Christians have studied the Word of God, that this is a typical type church structure of churches that are really almost perfect, but you must be perfect. And the people, the false prophets, are saying you can't be perfect. But we must be perfect. Because God said this, forget these people that are saying these things. Cease ye from man, in whose nose is one breath. For how little are they to be accounted of? They're just a pile of dust. And that's their own spirit talking. But unless their spirit is coupled or joined or united or mixed with the or mingled with the Spirit of God, then they don't know anything. They're dead. It's just them talking. But I'm talking here about the things that Jesus is saying to John. John doesn't even take the credit for this. The Apostle John that wrote the things down that the Lord was saying. So this isn't something that you can, you know, argue about. If you argue about it, then you're a fool, because this. Who can argue with God? How can you come out and say to the Lord, what are you doing, man?
Amen.
What are you doing? What doest thou? Because you are really, you know, nobody's ever fought a battle with the Lord and won. A lot of people are fighting him today, but he's fighting them. Have you noticed the tsunamis? A lot of people try to put the tag on Mother Nature. Let me tell you something about that. There is no Mother Nature. The Lord is the one that drowned the whole world, not Mother Nature. Those people back then, and Noah didn't write down that it was Mother Nature. He said it was the Lord.
Amen.
And God said it was him. Amen?
Amen.
And God says that he's the one that's going to burn the whole earth to a crisp. And he says the chaff, I mean the people that didn't accept the wheat, the Word of God into them, are chaff. Only the Spirit of God is going to survive the destruction of this earth. Only those that have the good word or the good seed, the wheat in them, will go into heaven. The Lord says that he's going to separate the chaff, in other words, the nothings, people that don't receive the gospel. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the good people that are going to heaven, those that have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and then they begin reading the Word and doing what it says. That's what Jesus says. So blessed are those that read this or hear these words that I'm saying to you, John, that I'm having you write down. Blessed are they that do that, and blessed are those that just consider it like so much music. You know, I used to go to, when I was a kid, I used to go to circuses and carnivals and to state fairs, and I used to box and wrestle, and I did all kinds of stuff, and there'd be arenas full of people, and they'd be yelling and screaming and everything. But those yells and those screams don't mean anything. They're not going to add to you, or you hear music walking through the mall. That's just to keep you pacified, because the mall owners know that you're high strung and that you're sort of wiped out, and there could be a riot if there isn't some kind of mood music or some kind of noise going on. Some people tell me that they can't even sleep unless the radio's on, or it doesn't matter what kind of noise is going on at all, but they just so insecure that they have to have the security blanket of noise going on. But you don't want to hear these things. Now the message to the church of Ephesus, the Lord is telling John, write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Well, you know, God with his own finger wrote the Ten Commandments. So God could have just written the letter down, but he wants people that will obey everything that he says and put down every jot and every tittle, every period, every exclamation mark, everything. So the Lord is checking people out to see if they're going to be obedient to him, that they're going to obey. Now he says, write down this message to the church of Ephesus. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message. Took a little sip of coffee there. This is a message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. Now, who would that be? That's Jesus. He said that himself. That isn't John saying it. The seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven candlesticks or golden lampstands. Jesus says, I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work. And this is good, you know, because we have to be like hard-working farmers, because really, we're working. You could call the born-again Christian church God's farm. We're out there sowing seed, and then we're out there watering the seed by preaching the gospel. And then when people receive it, what we do is we keep reading the Bible and showing them what to do and what not to do so that they can grow up to the fullness of the things that the Lord wants them to know and to do. And he says, I know all the things you do. He also, another place in the Bible, says, I know all the things you think. I know the very intents of your heart. I know everything you're going through. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. That's the Bible says we have to endure to the end if we want to be saved. I know you don't tolerate evil people. Yes, if you tolerate evil people, well then the Lord will know that too. Amen?
Amen.
So he'll know whether you tolerate them or you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles. Yes, I've done that. I've examined the things that people that call themselves preachers, teachers, apostles, prophets today. So you've examined them and say that they are apostles, but Jesus said that they are not apostles. And then Jesus goes on to say that you have discovered they are liars. They're liars. They're saying that no one can be perfect. And they're saying that you're supposed to enjoy everyday life. Right here at the very end of time. Now, you know, look back there at 1950 years ago when John, somewhere near that area, when John was on the Isle of Patmos, the island of Patmos, for preaching the gospel. He was in exile, in jail, in prison. He's a convict, an ex-con. So they can't just come out the Vatican and say, well, you're preaching the gospel, so we're going to put you in prison for preaching the gospel. So what they do, now here's the trick they do, everybody, is they make up false charges on this so that you won't realize how far it's gone. So they make false charges on you, and then they start telling all kinds of lies about you as well. That you're a child abuser, that you're a pervert of some sort. When in reality, look at the hundreds of thousands of the people in the Vatican, supposed to be, they're not priests. They say they are, but they're not. They're liars, Jesus said. That have pedophile and homosexuality that is rampant. All those popes were homosexuals. And the cardinals and many of the priests, and some of them are like whoremongers. But you have discovered that they are liars. And like you try to tell people that, but they're so deceived, the Lord says that the whole world would be deceived in the last days. So you know, I can talk to people that are not even saved. They're just people that I go witness to people that are in casinos and people that are drunks. I don't tell, you know, I don't run with them or anything. But I, like Jesus, talk to the publicans and the sinners. Otherwise, they wouldn't be saved. And a lot of people that say they're Christians and are liars, they just huddle together in a little, or a big temple, and they pretend that they're holy, and they just won't have anything to do with sinners. But the Lord called us to get the truth of what the Lord is saying here to the whole world, the worldly people, the dead people. And it was for this cause that he came into the world, is to save sinners. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus goes on to say, you've discovered they're liars, and you have patiently suffered for me. Not lived every good life or enjoying every good life, but you suffered. You've been tortured for me. You've endured these things, tribulations and trials and persecutions and character assassinations and liars that tell lies about you in the world government, in their newspapers and on the TV and on their radio programs. The place is just filled with liars. The Lord said, let every man, unregenerated man, be called a liar. But let me, the Lord, and we're part of the Lord's body, let me be called the truth. So he says, and you have patiently suffered from me. And I just like to throw this in, not saying the good life, you know. No, suffered, tortured for my sake. Not lived every good life, every day with this life, enjoying everyday life. You have patiently suffered through for me, without quitting. You know, a lot of people, the Bible says in the parable of the sower, that a sower goes out to sow, and some of them, when the seed starts rising up, but because of persecution, because of people lying about them, because of character assassination, because of the thousands of attacks, and the millions of people that believe the devil rather than the Lord, it's like the fowls of the air just snatch that word right out of people's souls, right out of their minds, right out of their bosoms, and they fall away. But this church, he's talking about, you've patiently suffered through for me. Without quitting. You wasn't a quitter. Because a quitter never wins and a winner never quits. Amen?
Amen.
If you're going to get into the kingdom of heaven, buddy, you're going to have to pay the price, because the Lord paid the price also. He was the first one. Because there is always the temptation for many people to quit. But I have this complaint against you. Can you imagine that the Lord would have a complaint? Can you imagine that the Lord would have a complaint about a church like this and all the things that they've suffered and everything, just like us? Well, yeah, he does, because we have to be perfect.
Amen.
Let that go into the world. You must be perfect. So the Lord, you're not perfect yet. There's something wrong here. I have something against you. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or teach others as you did. You don't love me anymore. You don't love me anymore, Jesus is saying to all the people that are not out there carrying the cross and taking up the cross and following the Lord. You don't love me. And you don't love the others, each other, the brothers and sisters, as you did at first. You don't love me as you did at first. You don't love me anymore like that. And you don't love the brothers and sisters anymore like that. You don't love those who I have put to rule over you, to tell you the word. And I've told you that you have to give double honor to those that rule well in the word. You have to obey them, not instruct them, but obey them. Amen?
Amen.
In other words, you've left your first love, which is to just praise and thank me. Get back to it. I mean, and love me. Worship me. Praise, thank, and do what I tell you to do. What is praising and thanking the Lord? Well, you know, if somebody gives you, your dead mother or dad gives you a bicycle or something like that, and they see you love it and you're riding the bicycle, but if you give it to your child and they just throw it over in the garbage or something like that. And that's what people are doing with the words of life. The life, the word of God is the life of Christ, and it must be deeply in you. So you don't love me anymore, he says, which is to just praise, thank the Lord, worship him, and do hear what he says and do it. And so he says, so you don't love me anymore or each other as you did at the first. Look how far you have fallen from your first love. So you see, that was the most important thing. If you really love the Lord, you're going to be doing all the other things. You're going to be patient. You're going to suffer and you're going to endure temptation. Yeah, you're going to rebuke it and flee from the very appearance of temptation. You're not going to fornicate or be a whoremonger or a lesbian or a prostitute or a homosexual. You're not going to covet things that people have. You're not going to rob or steal or murder people. And they're murdering children by the millions. This is first-degree murder, abortion. Turn back to me again and work as you did at first with me. Not on your own, because that's not going to profit you anything. If you don't do it, I will come and remove your lampstand or your candlestick. For the candlestick, because it's the seven churches. They are the same as the lampstands from the place among the churches. But there is this about you that is good. What is good? Is it good to hate? The good thing about you is that you hate the deeds, not of the immoral Nicolaitans. Now, this is symbolic of the Vatican, the one world government, one world church, and the media, or any sinful organization, or the branches. Like the Cult Awareness Network is a branch of the Vatican, and they know better than to make it a government agency, because the government cannot come against other religions. We've gone so far, though, the people in the world, is that former President Clinton said, this will teach people for being a cult. Because to him and all other Catholics, including Mr. Bush, anyone that's not a Catholic is a cult. Now, a lot of people think that thought that Bill Clinton was a Christian, a Baptist, as a matter of fact. But the minute he got placed as president of the United States, he came out of the closet and did his thing fully in the eyes of the world. But still, the whole world hasn't picked up on it yet. And President Bush has built altars and monuments, actually, in Washington, D.C., and to the Vatican, and plainly states that he'll do anything the Pope says to do. Well, does that mean murder my children and put me in prison and cut the children out of my wife's belly? This is what you would do? This is what Abraham Lincoln said. Beware of the Vatican coming into the United States of America, because they'll kill me. And they did. It was the Vatican. It was the Catholics, all of them. John Wilkes Booth was a Catholic, and he was in conspiracy with a lot of other Catholics. But this is, you know, just something from the past. And this has gone on for years. You hate the deeds of the immoral Nicolaitans. Don't you hate all these wars? They're the one, the Bible says that they're guilty of every filthy sin, every horrible sin on the face of this earth. Because in one way or another, everyone that's sinning is doing that because it's relative to what the Vatican is teaching on television, radio, and newspapers, and magazines. You hate the deeds of the immoral Nicolaitans, just as I, Jesus, hate them. Their deeds, rather. I hate their deeds. He doesn't hate the Nicolaitans that people repent of these evil deeds. Look at the Apostle Paul. He murdered Christians, but when the Lord appeared to him, that he really knew that the Lord existed, just like I did when he talked to me, right, and closed my ears off and talked to me, to my soul, my spirit. And our spirit has to be mingled. Now, the Lord blew the breath of life into us, the spirit of life into us. And that spirit of life in us is what made us a living soul, because we have the soul, in other words, the free will to do what we will, or to do what the Lord wills, and then we have our body. We have our body, soul, and the spirit of which the Lord originally blew into us. And then when Adam sinned, everything in him sinned. So that anything that he begets or fathers or brings into the world is already they've already sinned because of Adam. The offspring of Adam has that same damnable sin on it. It has to be cleansed away. This is why Jesus said we must be born again, because when we were born, we're just the seed of Adam. We're all children. The Bible says that everyone on the face of this earth, that Eve is the mother of everyone living. That means that nobody else in the world was ever created by God other than Adam and Eve at first. Like a lot of people say, well, there are others. No, there wasn't. Because the Word of God, which is God, tells us that Eve is the mother of all flesh, and Adam is the one that begot everyone. And so when they sinned, then we all sinned, and then they started having children. And the children are just from corruptible seed that was in Adam. Amen? Mm-hmm. And therefore, we must be born again of the Lord. Now, Eve was taken out of Adam's body, and all the flesh in the world came from them. And now we have to be taken. We have to go to have the Spirit of God in us, and so that we are taken out of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must become the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Eve was Adam's bride. And we must be the Lord's bride. You understand?
Amen.
One is carnal and the other one is spiritual. That's the way it is. And please believe the Lord. These are not just people. They're not getting this from their self, or they thought up something. But it's the Lord saying these things to them. What a shock that Jesus says, I hate their deeds also, of the Nicolaitans, all sinners. But he wants you to not do evil deeds like you gang members out there. He wants you to come to him and have the Spirit of the Lord in you, so that you'll have a long, that you'll live a long time, and that you'll be in his kingdom with him. Anyone who is willing, Jesus says, anyone who is willing to hear must listen to the Holy Spirit and understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Everyone who is victorious, in other words, it comes to them, will eat. They're going to be able to eat from the tree of life in the paradise of God. Revelations 2, 1 through 8. The tree of life actually is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So when we're born again of the Spirit, you'll be able to eat from the Word of God, the tree of life, in the paradise of God, because that tree is stationed there. It's like there in the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord, quote, to him be glory and dominion. Now, we have no dominion whatsoever before we ask the Lord to come into us. But when the Lord comes into us, Adam and Eve, Adam had dominion over everything in the world. But when he sinned, then he gave the power and dominion to Satan. And all his seed were under the dominion of Satan, and they couldn't do anything else. That's why if you were without the Spirit of God, then you don't have any dominion in this world. You don't even have dominion over yourself. You're uncontrollable. You get these spasms. Some people want to commit suicide. Some people get so uptight they want to have road rage. Somebody juts in front of them and they want to take a gun out and shoot them. And there's just no control. The Bible says, you know, if you can control your tongue, this is in the book of James, that you'll be able to control your whole body. So people have to work on controlling their tongue, because no man can tame that. Only the Holy Spirit can tame your tongue. So you don't have any control over it, except that's a lie. You lie, you tell people certain things in order to get what you want, and you become skillful at that. And so the tongue can bring forth life, the Bible says, the Lord said, and it can bring forth death. So the Lord said, to him be glory, to him be glory and dominion. And all those that are in the Lord, they have his dominion with them. He is in them, and therefore his dominion is in you. Dominion, not to rule as you see the kings of the world rule, but to stay out of trouble, to rule your own body. Because if you want to see a good look at Satan, the body that we're living in is the body that we used to live in when we were sinners. And we have to keep our body, we have to let the Spirit of God take power and dominion over our body, so that it doesn't do the things that the flesh wants to do. There's a whole, the whole world is into temptation, and football, baseball, basketball, every kind of thing. And, well, how they roar when somebody makes a goal. How they just applaud and scream and jump, and females just throw themselves at athletes' bodies because that's all they have. And these athletes, they catch AIDS and everything else under the sun, and they just enjoy that. And that's why a lot of people become athletes, because they just love the sport. But when we have the Lord in us, we also have his dominion with us forever. And forever, if we continue on, amen. That's Revelation 1:6. So we have to know all these phonies today that are saying that they are the Lord. We know that the angel of the Lord told John, "Behold, he cometh with clouds," and yet there's a lot of people today that say that they're the Lord. Don't listen to those kind of people. You're just wasting your time. And they're going to lead you right into hell. The Lord, it says, "Behold," or "Look, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierce him, and all kindreds of this earth, all of them shall wail because of him." Even so, the Spirit says, Amen. Revelation 1:7. So John plainly states, because of what the Lord had said to him, in verse, "I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulations." Does that sound like he's living the everyday life, the good life, you know, to just kick back and enjoy yourself in huge, you know, wealth and riches and don't do anything for the Lord? I'm your companion. If you're a Christian, a real Christian, in tribulations, your brother and companion in tribulation. These false prophets are saying that we're going to be bailed out of this world or raptured out of this the tribulations. But the Bible says the exact opposite. Brother John here states that he is the companion of ours. He's our brother and also our companion in tribulations. Not in every day good life and this nonsense that they're preaching and all this nonsense. But it is a good life to the Lord. In the Lord, if you're in the Lord. There is no life other than in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Quote, "And the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ." Jesus was patient. He took all that tribulation and abuse just as he says we must. Revelation 1:9. So the patience of Jesus is that he never sinned once. And he will not allow us to sin either. So get that into your cranium. Only if it's a sin of ignorance, and we all know that the Ten Commandments, the moral law, are never going to go away. But I see my time is up right now, and so... this is all extremely interesting to me because I know that it wasn't just some man that said that. This was God talking to this man and told him to write these things down. Amen?
Amen.
God lets us know all throughout his word that he hates sinners and he drowned the whole world again and barbecued Sodom and Gomorrah, all those homosexuals and lesbians, immoral people. Now, if they would have repented, God doesn't hate you. He hates your sins. So get right with the Lord. And the way to do that, to start out, is to just say this prayer to the Lord. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness to wash away all my former filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart. And I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And therefore I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Praise and thank the Lord. Be baptized in water now. Fully submerge in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then, be filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Now, here's Sharon to tell you four different ways that you can receive a copy of this program. This is program 360. Please specify if it's a CD or a tape copy. It's all free of charge, including the postage and handling.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you. Praise the Lord. Keep seeking and continue on in the Lord. And tune in tomorrow because we're going to have a continuation of these teachings. More Bible reading and teaching. Praise the Lord. And from the Lord, not me. All right? So if you don't want to hear from the Lord, well, then if you think it's more profitable to, you know, listen to Bozo or something else, well, that's your choice. You're a soul and you can choose. Here's H.B. Barnum's Life Choir singing Life Prayer Song.